Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
You know, doing okay. You know, it's doing all right. Lots going on, as always, in the world and in, you know, our lives. And I know you're busy, and so I'm not going to complain. But
it seems like a day we just talked, and it's been a week already.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That really shows you, huh?
So
it's Wednesday already? Oh, my goodness. we just talked. But it literally wasn't since last week. Except, you know, amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. So had a great marriage conference again last weekend at a church in Central California. And really, again, just in our zone when we're doing that. Love to, you know, hang out and encourage couples. And then back here and back in the world of radio consulting and helping clients, you know, use radio to expand their brand. And that leads us to here and today and Realty Universal Radio, of course. And, you know, we've been now, I'm not sure how, it's over a year, obviously, been more than a year now. It's been like a year and 3 or 4 months, I think, that we've been doing this.
Amazing,
right?
Huh? Yeah, absolutely.
I love
the second half. I just love the spiritual side in the second half, and I just it's all good. It's
good. Steve Rizzo last week tore it up.
Oh, that was the best. I just love that. Now, you guys did some other work after that too, didn't you? Yeah.
We connected again just to kind of talk and regroup about some stuff, and you know I'm fascinated with, you know, his journey. You know, in and through and out of comedy, and you know, I've kind of dabbled in professional stand-up comedy, and so I was fascinated, kind of a parallel, kind of aha.
You've done a lot of comedy, didn't you? You did a lot.
Yeah, and you know, but I had the same aha he did, which is, man, I really don't want to be just known as a comedian. You know, I really have more to say, and so I was fascinated with that portion of his story. And so, yeah, I got back on the phone with him and actually going to be helping him a little bit with some radio stuff. And so he's going to continue to kind of coach me, I guess, a little bit on the, you know, the corporate speaker business.
Oh,
if
wow.
You will.
He really loves it. He's really good at it. It's just his story was so fantastic about, you know, listening to your heart, doing what you know is right. He got the aha moment. He made it happen. He stuck with the plan, and here he is, and just amazing. He was an amazing person. I loved his story. I just loved how he stuck with it all and where he came from with it. You know, it's just incredible. And, you know, that humor, just like you have you're so good with humor. You know, it's just such a it's a wonder. It's wonderful. It just takes every situation and makes it better, you know. When you have a way to do that, and you're really good with that, and he was really, just, I loved the show. I thought that was one of the best because it was just so in tune all the way around, you know. And
enjoying the journey, you know, laughing.
And
the joy is in the journey, and that's important because I think a lot of us, you know, can get focused. We do find our purpose, and then we're full speed ahead with that. But then we can get so kind of driven and that we don't enjoy the journey. It becomes, you know, it becomes difficult and it becomes hard. And
You know, and I think the problem and the laughter and being able to somehow go, I'm going to laugh every day, you know, I found, you know, that and make yourself see some positives even in the bad things. And that's difficult at times because it's so easy to hyper-focus or people are having problems or it's, you know, they're having financial difficulties or a lot of stresses these days. And it seems like laughter and being able to see the humorous side of things is better than any medicine out there, isn't it? Medicine, drugs, alcohol, you know, all these different things people go to sometimes, comfort food. You know, it's pretty, I think I'm going to go, I have to look up his stuff and start working on that and start saying, okay, every day I'm going to make something funny out of it. I'm going to think about things in a funny way. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to train us old people, isn't it? I mean, we're not old yet, Randy. And I know. Don't. I'm bite. You're probably saying bite your tongue. It's just. You know what's funny? We had it all when we were younger, and we didn't even know it. You know, it was like thinking, my gosh, I had the world by the tail, and you know everything. Now you get up and you're like aching a little and go, oh, I don't have that energy. Oh, and I was talking to a friend the other day, and we're like, how did we do what we did 15, 20 years ago? Like how? You know, I remember when, you know, my son was growing up doing the PTA, the chamber, running the company, doing many, many deals, taking care of the entire household. Of course, I had a housekeeper come in once a week, but that wasn't, you know, and doing all the work and hours, and I could go fit, and I was fine. Now, after about an hour and a half, it's like, oh. So it's kind of
it seems like everything we, you know, nowadays, every venture, every kind of new thing that I consider, I now really do take in, okay, energy, fatigue, you know, how much work is it going to take? Like you say, because you have to kind of take that into account as we get older.
You know, yeah, we really do. But it's and then we need to be able to delegate. It's just interesting. But I don't know. I think God has an amazing plan because why couldn't we understand that like 15 years ago? It's just like it's so funny. But it's all good. Well, our show today, our first half of the show is going to be on short sales, and whether you're a seller or a buyer, you know, are they good to get into? And then you're handling the second half as well, which you always have the best people come on. Let you tell a little bit about that.
Yeah, Christina Christia is going to be with us, and she is going to just really encourage us. She's a leadership and a coach, and I know we've had several really amazing folks from the John Maxwell team on and took a break the last couple of weeks, but she's one that we kind of had scheduled for quite a while, and she's awesome, and she's involved with not only the Maxwell team, but a process for getting clarity that is based on a book called The Deeper Path by Carrie Oberbrunner. And we've had Carrie on, and we've had Bob Claxton on, and she's going to kind of share a little bit of her journey and how as you get clarity, you get confidence. As you get confidence, you get competence. As you get competence, you get influence. Influence brings impact, and impact brings income. And so a lot of people want to jump to, I just want to make a lot of money. And she shares how there's really this kind of process, but the first comes with, and you say this all the time, getting clarity on what it is you really want to do. You know, what it is you want to do. That's huge, because otherwise you drift and dream. And if you're ADD, man, you're chasing shiny objects and squirrels all over the place,
everybody's so brilliant that you're going to come up with this idea and that idea. And then, you know, it's really focus is huge, isn't it? And planting seeds. I think planting seeds is a biggie because, you still have to plant and reap that harvest later. And so many people stop right when the harvest is coming. They get bored or they quit or they go, I don't see enough happening. Let me go do something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And had they just stuck in that, it starts going through it. But I'll tell you, you know, we've got the change your mindset, change your mind, change your mindset, change your life, whatever. It's an ongoing process, I find, at least for, you think in a way it's an ongoing process because you can have something, everything's going great, and then something happened, and then wait a minute, what did I do wrong? Wait a minute, you didn't do anything wrong. These are, lots of times there's extenuating circumstances, and it's a pretty neat thing. So I'm looking forward to that second half. And so let's get into a little bit about short sales. A short sale, and we're talking in the real estate market because, of course, you can short many different shorts, could be shorts and stocks and other things. A short sale is when a property, for example, a property is owned by a seller has a loan on the property, and the market value of the property is less than what is owed. You could have a first mortgage, second, third. You can have, you know, I mean, when the, you know, it depends how many loans somebody was able to take on their property. And they have to go to the lender, the mortgage holder, and get them to agree to take a short and to get less for the property than what the property may be worth. And then there could be tax ramifications as well. So, of course, we can only tell nuggets on the 30 minutes that we have. But you want to make sure that if you're a seller and you're getting involved in a short sale, that you talk to a real estate broker that's or an attorney that's very versed, well-versed in short sales. There's a lot to know. Also, talk to your accountant. And very, very important to talk to your accountant. And it's even better if you don't have an accountant, try to find a tax attorney that handles real estate and taxes. You know, a lot of CPAs, you can find a CPA that does both. That's even better. And the reason that I wanted to go ahead and bring this up today is here we are. Today is April 24th, 2013, for anybody that's going to be listening to the archives. The rules are changing so fast that you can, in the old days, I like to say old days, maybe the old days seemed more comfortable, but at the time maybe they were, right? Rules are changing. You know, in the old days we used to get used to, like, rules were put in by the government, rules were put in, say, real estate rules and commission rules, and, you know, you pretty much knew, okay, you know, the laws are going to change. I mean, we know when the government goes in session, we're all knowing laws are going to be changing, right? You knew when the organizations go in. You pretty much knew the time of year that, hey, we've got to look out for all the changes. What's happening now is these changes are coming constantly. And there isn't always rhyme or reason for the changes. And I'm seeing it after 27 years in the business. I'm going, well, this is scary. This is really scary. Because I'm coming from a mindset that if we have changes, you're grandfathered in if your deal was in prior to. That's not always the case anymore either. So I wanted to have this today about the short sales because the big thing with the short sales is to get educated. You can still get a good deal with a short sale depending on where you are in the country. I'm seeing some areas where the lenders are wanting much closer to market value, and it's not as good of a deal, but it still can be typically less than what market value is. If you're the seller, there's so much that you have to be aware of. Now, if you're a buyer getting into the deal, you want to be aware of what you're getting into, too, to know if this deal is going to be plausible. If you get into a property, are you really going to? Is the bank going to approve it? Are you going to be in this for months and months and months, or is the turnaround time going to be pretty okay? You hear horror stories where short sales are lasting a year, and that shouldn't happen. Now, I've seen where there's short sales being handled by an attorney, and any attorneys listening, I'm not knocking attorneys. Attorneys are great. That maybe the attorneys are listing, you know, 1,000 properties a year for a few different lenders, you know, through the group servicers or whatever, and they're only getting a flat $2,000 per property. I'm just giving an example. Because they may have so many and there's such a pool, they may not be pushing to get those through quickly. So it could take a lot longer, right, to get the thing through because they don't really have the incentive to hurry up and push and close and get it done. It's the same as, say, a real estate agent or broker would when, you know, they're dealing with commissions and everybody's trying to get things through, and they also deal more personally with the homeowner. So we feel their pain. It's not just about money for us, trust me, but I'm just giving you an example. We feel the homeowner's pain, and many times they want to move in, out, move on with their life. There's anxiety. There could be divorces, death. You know, pain, we feel their pain, so we're also going, oh, my gosh, we've got to help them and get this through. The example I'm giving, if it's a pool of listings and the attorneys are just handling it methodically, it's a different type of setup. And the only reason I'm mentioning that, again, is just giving an example of I've seen some people take a year to get into a short sale, and most buyers these days don't want to wait that long unless they're going to get a steal of a deal. So there's two sides to this. If you're the seller and you're the buyer, And the price ranges make a difference. So if you're dealing, you know, in the jumbo market and you're dealing in, you know, the, you know, million, you know, plus homes, and the loans were conventional, I mean, conforming, non-conforming loans, I'm sorry, and or private loans, you may have, or maybe dealing directly with smaller banks, you may have a different situation on who gets to say whether your short sale can go through. So you may have a situation where it's an executive committee and it's going to be easier to decide whether that can go through or not. Yet, you know, if it's a bank, and I'm throwing a lot out there, you know that. I'm throwing too much out there, but it gives you food for thought and questions, right, Randy? Because if somebody's not familiar with this, they could be saying, whoa, what are you talking about? But I'm throwing things out there that give you ideas, but when you're listening to these archives or when you anyone wants to call in right now, they can do so too. And what happens, for example, is there's so many scenarios. So say say you've got a situation where it's a smaller bank, but then you owe them $1.5 million or something, and they're going to be able to make a decision. They still have accounting decisions to make too, and they still have accountability, maybe through the FDIC, or you know, there's so many things that they may be accountable for if it's a regular bank. With the mortgage companies, different rules are going to apply. So then you get into the lower price, and I don't mean low, because it still can go high. You can still be at $500,000, $800,000, just depending on the market and where you are. Then when you get into the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae loans, which are government-sponsored, you have other rules that are coming up, and that's kind of the basis for this call right now, to get into being able to find out what you're up against. Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae have instituted different programs, which the banks are picking up, like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, that are supposed to help the consumer. What I have seen, and I don't know if it's too many players in the picture, or I guess it's just a hard situation to deal with since we've had the mortgage meltdown since 2008, when things are trying to be fixed, they're having to look at the big picture, but it's also hurting on the small picture in the small end. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. And if you have a Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae loan. Now, you as a homeowner, any homeowners that are listening to this, you can Google Freddie Mac and go to the site freddiemac.com. It's the actual website, or Fannie Mae. And you can actually take your loan number and your address, and you can look up to see if you have a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan. Many, many people do. The rules that they have are going to apply to your loan, and it's very, very important, especially when you're doing a short sale, on what's going to be allowed and what's not going to be allowed. So that's the first thing you can do. And, you know, some of this you want to do yourself and not just rely on someone else saying to you, oh, you have this loan. You can also contact the lender and ask them. But it's good to do a lookup and just double check, because people make mistakes and they're busy. Right now, there were programs started a few years ago. HAFA was started and HAMP was started. And we're already at like 20 minutes into our show, so of course I can't go into all the details, but I'm giving you can also Google HAMP, H-A-M-P. You can Google HAFA, H-A-F-A. HAFA was stopped. The majority of HAFA was stopped in December 2012. There are some things that are being done with it until December 2013, but not open-ended the way it was before. Under HAFA, for example, if you had a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, and it was doing a HAFA, and say you had the first mortgage, and I feel like somebody's going to have to listen to this a couple times to understand this, right, Randy? Because I'm trying to throw out so much in the sense.
No, well, that's the beauty of being archived, is that folks can, you know, can absolutely pause and take notes. So
yeah, because this is really okay, because this is very important stuff, but it's just hard to go over it all in 30 minutes. For example, with the HAFA loans that were out before, say you have a first mortgage. Now, if you have a first mortgage and you don't have a second, you don't have a home equity loan, you don't have a third, it's going to be much easier for you to do a short sale. That is a given, okay? But if you have more than one loan and different lenders you're working with, that's going to be harder because everybody has to accept your short sale. So under the HAFA program, they were having it state that – that say it's Bank of America on your first, and you had a second with a smaller bank or a home equity loan. They were basically under HAFA said that the second had to be willing to accept. It got up to like 8,500. Now I think it's down to 6,000 before, and they would have to waive your deficiency. So say you owed the second 100,000 or 200 or whatever, they'd have to accept 6,000 to 8,500, and not come after you for the difference. Well, you know, so if the lender said, absolutely not, I'm not going to do that, then you could not go under the HAFA program. But if you didn't know that and you were under, you know, accepted offers and went all the way through months later and then found out months later, you could have a real problem, right? So, but so we had alternatives, though, to put them through people through other programs. Now Freddie Mac just changed their guidelines, and it's November of 2012, that they don't care if it's a HAFA or what it is. The second and third and whatever other loans have to waive the deficiency. So see how scary that could be? Because you could be negotiating. Wow. Now, if you're a seller going, yay, yahoo, yahoo, I get out of it, and they're waiving this deficiency, yeah, it sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful in theory, but it doesn't mean they're all going to do it, you know? Some of the banks, I mean, the banks will write off the losses either way, and you know, you may say, well, it's better for them to get something than nothing.
But yeah.
No, you know, it's too little of an amount. We don't care. We're not going to do it. So you can see where that puts, I think, when we were having more alternatives before, then, okay, you can't do HAFA, you can still do a standard short sale. Okay, then that would work better. But so it's, I mean, you know, it's a really very, very situation that you really, somebody needs to know what they're doing, but even somebody that knows what they're doing isn't going to know it all. I mean, I've been in this business for years, and changes are coming so fast that you're like, and I'll give you an example. I had to call Freddie Mac on a deal. And on the HAFA, ended December last year, and we were given that in writing by one of the banks. I won't mention the name. And the woman said, oh, no, it goes all the way until the end of 2013. I said, well, when was it extended? Like, because that would make a difference for some potential clients. Oh, it wasn't. It's just always been that way. Well, oh, my gosh, who's giving the right information here? And this was calling Freddie Mac's, you know, number directly, right? But I looked it up, and it did expire, but there's certain circumstances that they're doing some other type of credits to sellers at settlement or closing. So she really didn't know her information, right? And do you see how it's pretty scary? So you have to really double-check everything, and that's what the scary part is, that you really have to make sure. So we're running out of time, but for a buyer, what you want to do is find out and ask them when you're submitting the offer, the best situation if you have an agent that you can put it in writing and let you talk to the lenders as well as the listing agent, which many times they're not going to let you do that, but you can make sure that you know and put it in writing. We want to know how many loans are on the property and you can look that up through some tax records, but you want to hear this from the horse's mouth, the sellers, and you want them to sign on the dotted line because they could have private, they could have something private that wasn't recorded yet, and it gets recorded, you know, weeks before closing, right? So you want to know what you're dealing with, how many loans. If you're a buyer and it's just one loan and it's a pretty large, you know, company, you're going to have a better shot. But if it's two or three loans on the property, you may need to know, hey, are they going to – is this going to work? Because we don't get down to the end and it doesn't work. So how do we throw the humor into this, Randy? I need some of your humor into all this.
the humor is, boy, there is some humor to be found, I think, in short sales, but we'll have to work on the material. We'll have to call Steve Rizzo. He's the comedy expert.
Absolutely, we got to get him in. I want the 30 and 60 minute blurbs. Right, here's time
get
to take
back.
A break for a 30 for a Steve Rizzo blurb. He's absolutely. I want to hear Guido. I want to hear Guido. because we need to put humor into this, and I guess the humor is to trust and know everybody will get through this. But I did want to before we and because I want to make a point about, since I'm saying what can and cannot happen, on the Freddie Mac, one thing that they are allowing is if that second or third is not willing to give you a full release, because what a lot of the lenders would do in the past, too, if they, well, they say, okay, we'll release that loan, you know, say you owe $100,000. We'll release that second or third for $6,000 to $8,500, but we're not waiving the deficiency. We still have the right to go after the homeowner, right, for the difference. Freddie Mac is now saying, no, you don't. And, you know, again, it makes it sound like, wow, they're really looking out for people. But, no, if you bottleneck stuff and you don't have any alternatives, it's not very fair. So what you can do, if that second or third refuses to waive the deficiency, as long as they don't take a penny, they release the lien, and they don't get the $6,000 or $8,000, then the first, and Freddie Mac approves, because, of course, you're going through the banks, you know, they have to honor what rules are in place, right, with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, if that's that type of loan. So if you are, if they absolutely say, no, we will not waive the deficiency, they can say, we'll release the lien, we'll take zero. As long as they're willing to take zero and release a lien on the property, then they can still hold the owner liable and have the deal close, hopefully. You know, if they're, but that's just another alternative. But you can see where these, what's happening in these short sales, there's all these different rules and regs, and the tough part is when they implement something and people are in the middle of a deal and they didn't know. So education's the key, just to have the knowledge and know what it is up front. And get it in writing. And so I think we're still going to see many more. When I first saw some of these changes, I said, oh, my gosh, we're just going to have so many more foreclosures because people are going to put their hands up in the air and go, I'm done. And that's another part time is to when people are that stressed, you know, the thinking process gets clogged, right? It's not as clear with any of us. So it's very easy to go, I'm done, I'm stressed, just forget it, take the property back, I don't care what happens, I'm done. And so there are alternatives, and you know, so there's still, in my opinion, for the buyer and the seller, the short sales are still a good way to go. If you're in that position, you need to do it, or if the buyer wants to get a good deal, you just have to do your homework. And thank God for the internet on some of it too, right? Because you can do some lookups. So we are already at the end and of the first half of the show, and now we get to have fun on the second half.
Yep. Well, you know what? Again, this is important stuff, and I just, you know, I know when you kind of, you know, I know when you get in lecture mode sometimes, it, you know, because all of this stuff is stuff that you know, just I want to encourage you just not to worry about it, because I know there are many, many people in this situation, and if they're listening live, they can go back, obviously listen to the archive, and then pause as they take notes, because that half hour was chocked full of really good information. I mean, stuff that I don't think normal, just regular buyers and sellers have any chance of knowing anything about. So I would encourage folks to go back. If you are listening, or if you just tuned in and you're listening on the archive, we just spent pretty much a half an hour really, really breaking down for you some important things you need to know about short sales. And so, and it, like you said, it's gonna, I don't think anytime soon they're gonna be decreasing, right? I mean, I think it's still
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I think you can save yourself a lot of headaches to do some of the homework up front, you know. And typically, the last thing I do want to say is if it's a deal that's been put in place, you could get one through in 3-4 months. It shouldn't take you 6 months or a year to get through one. So something positive.
Well, that's
on that
good.
Note.
Yeah, that is good to know. Yeah. It's not going to be a whole long drawn out process. Hey, it is bottom of the hour, and again, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the show, and RealtyUniversal.com, the website, of course, for anything that you just heard, you want to drill down on all of the above, you can do that. There's just, it's an amazing website full of all kinds of great information. And we, as you can see on our show page, check it out at blogtalkradio.com/Realty Universal. There is an archive of just
in a year and a half some amazing shows. Pretty much, I'll say this, anything you need to know in real estate, it's there. And it's really well laid out. So literally, check it out. And what we're going to do is take a quick break, and then on the other side, Christina Cristea is with us, a leadership coach, one of our John Maxwell friends, and she's going to be talking about leading an empowered life and how to live successfully. And then I'm going to maybe talk to her a little bit about this whole Deeper Path book and the whole getting clarity thing, which I know Natalie has talked about a lot over the course of several shows, and how important it is to know what you want to do. That's fundamental. Know what you're called to do, what your calling is, and Christina's going to help us with that as well. Right around the corner, stay tuned.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like, ready, fire, aim. And, you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcoming, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Alrighty, and we are back. Realty Universal Radio, again, the name of the program. And, again, the second half of the show, as always, we love to dive into inspirational, motivational type conversation, how you can be the change. Often that involves a spiritual conversation, a lot of times emotional. We have had just a wide range. Last week, Steve Rizzo, the author of Get Your Shift Together, was on, and that was amazing and awesome. And our parade of amazing and awesome people continues right now with Christina Cristea is with us. Is that the way to pronounce your last name, by the way, Christina?
That's a very good pronunciation there. Thank you.
Thank you. Christina, we'll call you Cece. I guess folks maybe call you Cece. Huh? She is a leadership coach and trainer, facilitator with the John Maxwell group, and she has been in education. We were just having a conversation off air about that, and we'll kind of get into some of her story and how she arrived at where she is, and we're going to eventually get to a topic here in a few moments. She's going to be talking about how you can lead an empowered life, the journey to successful living. And we just said again off air, it is a journey. And for most of us, I guess I'll say for all of us, a lifelong journey. Christina, why don't you kind of just begin and share a little bit of your story, maybe your background, you know, and how you found your way to the John Maxwell team.
Great, and I'll do that. Just give me a second to say hello to everyone. It's a pleasure to be on this show with Randy. Thank you for the invitation, and Natalie. And I just wanted to say, you know, the first half was a powerful one for me. You know, I've been around people who have been dealing with short sales at, in their private lives. These are coworkers, and it's been, you know, a tough journey for them, and seeing them, you know, pretty much lose their homes and move on. But the beauty of the story is that life does go on, you know, does go on, and you can laugh about a lot of different things once they're over. While you're in the process, it might not be funny afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? I've lived through this too. So that's what I'm seeing these two wonderful women that I work with do. They're rebuilding their lives, and they're able to let go.
That's fantastic. It's all about that's the journey. That's fantastic.
So hopefully everyone's encouraged by that.
Yeah.
Life does go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you're right. It's I think we're all in this boat together, and this economy thing is a challenge for all of us. That's for sure.
I can relate to that. I'm not doing the short sale, never considered it, but being upside down in the area of the country where we live in, California, the San Francisco Bay Area, it's been a tough place to be for a lot of people. So I think education, like, you know, Natalie shares on the program weekly, it's empowering. And
it is. It really
gets
the steps, right, and the steps, and wow. So you've been in adult education for over 20 years?
Well, within education for the last 15 plus years. I started out my career out of college in business, the banking industry, and shifted to education because my heart has always been in education. I am a learner and love to learn and help others learn. So a lot of what you do, share information, share resources and tools. And specifically, I've been working in an adult ed program that's part of K-12 here in our area in California. And the program I work for is English as a Second Language, but we have Career Tech and many other programs like high school and GED, and giving people a second chance at getting the education they want.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Mm. And I'll tell you where the English as a Second Language comes from, especially with that name pronunciation. My family immigrated to the United States back in 1984, and back then I was a seventh grader. So English is my second language, and it's been a journey, long journey, from coming to a, you know, market economy country from Romania, which was a communist country at the time. And talk about real estate and property belonging to the state versus the, you know, person and individual.
Where you can never own it. Yeah, back then. How long have you been here?
So it's been 29 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, long time. So this is home for me, but, you know, I think especially for your listeners, for those who are in the real estate industry, to think of other places in the world where the opportunities, and I think Randy talked at the beginning of the show as an introduction, talk about choices, the choices people have here.
Right.
Through opportunities that are offered, the awareness that they gain through education are just so unlimited versus with other places in the world where that is not the case.
So So when you were there, you couldn't. I mean, you stayed on the property, right? And then what did you go? Did you people lease the properties? What did they do?
Basically, you were paying rent and you were paying for utilities. There was some limited ownership, and I cannot go into the details of that because I was too young to understand. But there was a lot of takeover of personal property by the state, and it was owned in common by all, quote unquote.
Wow.
But a lot of things have changed, and, you know, they have adopted free market economy, which is a great thing. It's just quite a process to get the economy where, you know, it's efficient and functioning at a high level.
That's fantastic. I mean, we're in such a global market now with all the world banks and, you know, everything working together that it's just changed everywhere. So it's exciting. Wait, it's amazing what you bring to your, you know, amazing how each person's life is so different, right, and what you bring to the table. It's such a, so interesting to me. I think it's just, I'd love to learn, and it's just so interesting, the different perspectives and how it all goes into leadership and how we handle and relate back to people as well. The nuggets, the steps.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we've had, you know, so many leaders. Sorry, Randy, go ahead.
No worries. Go ahead.
I said you've had such wonderful leaders on the program's names that I've know Devin Gino and Bob Claxton and Dave Ferguson. So there are different angles to each person's leadership story. And, you know, like you were saying last week with Steve Rizzo and, you know, shift. There's constant shift in our lives and changes, and that's where leadership comes in, the self-leadership. What do you do?
Yeah, and boy, Natalie, you could tell she's been listening because she just rattled off a whole bunch of folks that we've had on that I forgot we had on. So that's cool. That's very, very cool. Hey, Christina, let's kind of dive in because, you know, this time is flying by. It always does in the second half hour. But what are some key aspects in living and leading successfully? What are some key things that you know, maybe some takeaways, some things you could share with the audience?
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit of that with you, because as I've gone through this process, kind of finding clarity as to what my own purpose is and who am I supposed to work with long term and where I can create the, you know, biggest impact and make the biggest difference, I think number one in terms of success or significance, if you would, is to really define what that means for you. And I think that's where, you know, we're talking about the clarity, you know, having a clear vision for what will bring meaning, what will really mean success for each one of us. And that's, of course, in terms of, you know, our families, our faith, finances, what we want to do for fun. I think, you know, what I'm thinking in terms of real estate, you know, I have had so much more clarity going into buying my second property, you know, as opposed to first time around, because, you know, you see what's working, what's not working. So, you know, part of, you know, the defining is really redefining that over time. Because as awareness grows, so does, you know, our vision hopefully get enlarged.
Definitely, definitely. I think that, it's funny though with life. The leadership. It's at different stages and different places that we are, right? And with teaching and the curriculums that you were in, were you always, because you were doing it through schools, colleges, or curriculums that where you were basically given the outlines and you had to tweak it, or what were you kind of, can you tell us a little bit of history about how that was?
Right. So as an adult ed program, we do have our standards that are set, you know, both nationally and by the state, and there's a curriculum or different levels. So in English as a second language, you're basically helping people acquire the language skills to then go on and lead successful lives. So you're basically helping people achieve their own personal and professional dreams by giving them the tools they need. And in this case is the language skills and going from, you know, basic literacy, you know, for people who come maybe from countries where they had no education at all or minimal, to, you know, the highest levels, you know, where people are mostly fluent in English, but they need the acculturation piece. So although you have, you know, standards and curriculum, as a teacher, you're the creative force behind really taking the needs of your current group of students and what you have to offer them and put those together in order to bring about the best outcomes for them.
Were you able to do, was this all done physically in person, or has it been incorporated into the internet as well for online learning?
For us as a program, we've done most of it face-to-face, and we're running classes daily, morning, afternoon, and evening, both at an adult ed site and at elementary schools where we help parents who have kids on site.
Wow.
So, you know, we're one of the larger programs that are still around after, you know, a lot of budget cuts in California in education. And we serve around 35 to 4,000 people a year.
That's fantastic.
And,
that's, what's the name of the program?
Component is,
I'm sorry? What's the name of the program, the actual name of the program?
It's English as a Second Language, and we're part of Mount Diablo Adult Education in Concord, California.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
I know that area well. I just was driving through there the other day. We were down in San Ramon. There,
oh, wow.
Not far. So, yeah, but in your neck of the woods. Yeah, I'm going to have. You
live
in San Ramon?
I
really?
Do.
Wow.
I could see you. I could see you doing it and taking the components and you doing it through workshops on the internet.
Oh,
absolutely.
It's absolutely done. It's easier face to face, of course, because, you know, especially at the low levels where there's not a whole lot of language comprehension. Most of the communication is nonverbal. So,
really?
It's definitely something that's growing. Sure. I mean, you have somebody who cannot even say hello.
Okay.
And my name is. So you're using pictures and maybe right now video clips and a lot of that to,
wow,
to help people learn vocabulary words.
But
like
Rosetta Stone is kind of like a, you know, they do a, they have like the, on the line, of course it does a little bit of everything, interactive and videos and all that kind of, and mixed in. That's fantastic. That's really, wow. See, my heart's always gone out to like in, well, real estate, you end up into people, in people's lives maybe more than you want to sometimes or need to be, but then you can kind of help them and there's other issues going on. Do you find that a lot when you're, the people are coming in and you're able to really get involved with other avenues on the environment? Do you find a lot of people pretty much coming or that are here on the, in the U.S. are really thrilled to be here like people used to be years ago? I'm from France. Well, we came here when I was two, so I sound like this because I am, but my mother has a fluent accent. You know, years ago, people were so thrilled to get to the U.S. and America. Do you still find that, or is it changing?
Well, absolutely. You know, people are here because of opportunities. Talk about choices for a better life, and I know that's exactly what my parents did and what most of our clients are doing. They're here for work opportunities to give their kids a better chance at, you know, schooling and future. So you do get involved in their lives. And, you know, I have not been a, you know, quote-unquote, in-classroom teacher for a number of years. I started out that way, but I'm doing more of the, you know, administrative supporting teachers, leadership within our department to give the teachers the tools to work one-on-one with students. But, you know, of course, you know, it's holistic, you know, just like everything, you know, people get engaged in the classroom because the teacher shows they care, right? So
right.
It is about the whole person. It's not just about, let me give you, you know, a book and here do your exercises. Plus, then there's the community building aspect that happens. So the connection and communication that you're helping people gain within, you know, the safe environment with a group of people they get to know over time.
Wow. That's wonderful. So you're really making a difference in people's lives, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Christina Kirstea is with us, and again, we've been talking a lot about kind of her background, and I know that is really fascinating, and I know that that whole kind of journey led you to the Maxwell team and to being involved in, you know, in leadership and on multiple levels. And again, time is flying, man. We have 10 minutes left. Since you've been involved in adult learning all this time, what would you say is the connection really between learning and leading?
Well, I think the biggest link is, that they do go together. They are linked. Leaders are learners. I know within my personal journey, you know, it's been about reading great books. It's about being part of programs where I hear leaders who have lived successful lives and I'm learning from them. They are my mentors, like, you know, John Maxwell and, of course, a slew of many others. I could give you a whole bunch of different names of people I've read over the years. And that exposure, you know, kind of just broadens the horizon as to what's available and what's possible. And as I learn and as I grow and as leaders learn and as they grow, they do find out that there are more opportunities and they realize that their potential for growth and potential for impact is expanding. And I think they get excited about that. So learning and leadership are just so tied together that I don't think you can really be a good leader, an effective leader, unless you continue to grow. And then as you grow, you model those changes, the shift that constantly happens in your life. It's, you know, hopefully modeling it for the staff you work with, for your family. Because, you know, according to John Maxwell, leadership is all about influence. It's not about a title. So as a parent, as a friend, I think, you know, what we do influences people around us. And a quote that I just posted, I love to post on my Facebook page today. It says, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. And that's John Quincy Adams. So I think every person that's listening today is a leader. First, they're leading their own life, and then they're influencing everybody around them.
I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because people, I've talked to people, you know, been helping John Maxwell, you know, not only produce his radio spots, but getting him out at radio stations. And I've talked to several radio station, like, general managers, and, you know, they'll say, well, we play Christian music, and that's really more women, so really leadership is kind of a narrow niche. And I just go, first of all, what did you just say? You know, but then I said, here's the deal. Even if, say, for instance, a mother is not working, but she's at home and has got kids, guess what? She's a leader.
Exactly.
She's leading children. She's leading her family. And as you said, Christina, at the very least, we are to, you know, we're leading our own lives, whether we want to or not. Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
So at the very least, we should be leading ourselves, right?
I think we are. The question is, what direction are we leading ourselves in? And I think that's where that learning piece comes in, because the more we can watch those that have gone before us, whether, you know, still with us or, you know, no longer living, but we have their books with us or we have their wisdom, we can learn from that and maybe avoid some things and emulate other things, you know, talk about making good choices for our lives. And I think that's where, in the process of discovery, so starting with defining that success and envisioning what we want our lives to be, we really connect with who we truly are. So, you know, it's all about the heart, leading with our own heart, finding out what matters to us, what's important to people around us, so we can serve them from that kind of attitude, you know, where leadership is not about the position and the title and the power.
Mm-mm.
It's about what can I do for the people that are, quote unquote, following me or watching me.
How can we serve? Yeah.
Yeah, servant leadership. I love that, which, of course, was modeled, of course, by Christ. And you know, you see that over and over again. And I love quotes, too. And I know one I've seen a lot kind of on the Internet, but I'm a big UCLA basketball fan, and Coach John Wooden, of course. A lot of people quote him.
Mm-hmm.
I think John Maxwell's good friends with him. And I love
mm-hmm.
that one of his quotes that says it's what you learn after you know it all that matters.
mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah.
that's so true. I think people who've been in leadership maybe positions for a long time, you can kind of get this thing of somehow you know it all, you've arrived, nobody
right.
can really teach you anything. And that's tragic, because then that's a classic case of being stuck, isn't it? It's like, wow, they don't know what they don't know. They're not even aware that they
right.
are stuck. And I've seen people like that in leadership positions.
Well, and, you know, I think that's what the John Maxwell team and many others, along with John Maxwell and our faculty, is trying to do, go out into the world and help people become aware. And through coaching, through training, we can help people really get in touch with both what leadership truly is. John Maxwell has the 21 Laws of Leadership, and his latest book, The 15 Laws of Personal Growth. So, you know, this whole aspect of continuing to learn and grow, explore, know yourself, know your strengths, know what makes you come alive, and then go and impart that, share with others. And, you know, it's from a standpoint, again, of serving and sharing, not saying, I have all the answers. As professionals,
exactly.
people
exactly.
expect that we have, you know, the expertise, and we do in the processes, but not necessarily in what's good for a person. So through coaching, you help a person realize that these are some things that are really important to them. I think, Natalie, you do that with your clients as a real estate broker or agent.
Right.
You question them if, you know, it's an exploration of what do you really want, what's going to make things work better for your family, how does the kitchen need to look like, you know, how big of a backyard. I think some of the things with coaching are kind of the same, like what do you care about and how can you go then and make that happen so you can experience the joy of living a life that's truly meaningful to you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good stuff.
And it's about,
good
this
stuff.
Really is amazing. Very, very good.
Christina, Christea has been our guest. And, wow, we have like 1 minute. So
it goes by
contact,
fast. It goes by so
contact
fast.
Info that folks can find you?
Currently they can find me on LinkedIn, and it's going to be my name, Christina, Christea Coach. So Christina is spelled without an H, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, Christea, C-R-I-S-T-E-A, Coach. And I'm also on Facebook at ChristinaChristea.iCoach.
Dot iCoach?
Yes.
Okay.
Very cool. Now, folks can connect with you, of course, and pursue maybe, you know, coaching with you, correct?
Absolutely. My website is under development. A couple of them are, both the John Maxwell team and my personal one. And, you know, basically, you know, through coaching, what I'm here to do is to encourage people to lead empowered lives. And I think the way to lead an empowered life is to really know yourself, to go out after opportunities, to have that clarity and confidence that you're moving in the right direction, and to know that you're doing it to both for yourself, but, you know, as a contribution to your loved ones and to the world at large.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wonderful.
Hey, Christina, thank
you
so much for taking the time. It's been awesome.
Oh, it's wonderful, and it just goes by so fast. It was a pleasure, Christina. And I will be looking up your information. And, yeah, we'll have to have you on again, too, if it's okay with you, because this has been interesting. We never have enough time. 30 minutes goes by so fast. So
I definitely enjoyed it, and I hope, you know, this has brought some value to your listeners, knowing that they can have lives that are empowered, and it's up to them. They're leading their own lives, and they can make their own lives more powerful in order to bring contribution to this world.
Absolutely. Gosh, to everybody out there, I wish you peace. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.